Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. In the first half of this week's episode, we will be talking about texts from the book of Isaiah and from Psalm 22. So if you're joining us for the first time this week, that's wonderful. Welcome. We're happy to have you. If you tuned in last week and decided to come back, great. Yay. Thank you. And welcome back. Now, as I said last week, I am a lifelong Lutheran, and I received a Master's of Divinity from Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley, California, which, when I say it, always sounds really fancy, but, I mean, it's just a degree, and it just gives you an example of what my credentials are. Moving on. As a reminder, again, my religious tradition follows what is called a lectionary cycle, which means that there are assigned texts for each Sunday in the year, and the lectionary cycle follows a three-year pattern, so the texts are repeated every 3 years. The texts are from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and the Gospels. I'm following the assigned lectionary readings for this podcast just to give myself a place to jump in and a place to It's just a jumping-off point for me to explore these texts with you. And I'm excited to get started with you today, but first, we do have to take a quick break. But when we come back, we'll be talking about this week's text from the book of Isaiah.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. So as I said before the break, we're going to be starting out with a reading today from the book of Isaiah. The first text we will be discussing today is from the 65th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 9. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. I held up my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. A people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh with broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, says the Lord, because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills. I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servants' sake, and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob, and from Judah inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. So that's our reading from the 65th chapter of Isaiah. And I would say that this text definitely needs to be explored a little further. Sometimes when I read texts like this that have a lot of changes in perspective, it seems like changes in who is speaking, it helps for me to dig into them a little deeper. It helps for me to maybe read some commentaries, to talk to other people, to just listen to another perspective than simply my own reading of the Bible verse. And that's what we're here to do today. So let's dig in a little bit more to this gospel, or to this text from Isaiah. The speaker in these verses is actually God, and the verses themselves can be divided into three distinct parts. So the first of those parts talks about God's patient suffering at the hands of a recalcitrant people, a stubborn people, a people who are not listening. And that's from verses 1 through 5. And then we move on to into God's decision to judge in Isaiah 65, 6 through 7. And finally, 8 through 9, the merciful promise to save a remnant. So in this first part, these verses 1 through 5, we see God trying to be in relationship with Israel, trying and failing to get their attention. You can see the desperation in the words. God says, "I was ready. I held out my hands." God tries, but the people are rebellious. The people don't listen. The people deliberately flaunt the laws that God has set forth. We're told in these verses that they burn incense. They worship other gods. They eat the flesh of swines. It says they have abominable things in their vessels. They even tell God not to come near, for they are too holy for God. Just take a second to ponder the arrogance in that last statement. "Hey, God, thanks for that stuff about, you know, trying to be in relationship and all, but, you know, I really don't have time for you today. Don't you see all this stuff that I'm doing here with my incense and my worship and all this stuff that I'm eating? You know, when it comes right down to it, I'm doing all this stuff, I might actually be more holy than you." Wow. That is some crazy stuff right there when you think about it. The arrogance in these verses, and yet God still calls out and says, "Here I am," not once but twice. "Here I am, here I am," which is actually normally a phrase associated more with God's servants than with God. We see this phrase elsewhere in the Old Testament. For instance, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, God calls to Abraham, and Abraham obediently replies with, "Here I am." Again, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, there are multiple times when God calls out to Samuel, and Samuel, thinking that it's Eli calling out to him, says, "Here I am." He thinks it's Eli, but eventually they realize that it's actually God, and still Samuel says, "Here I am." Again, in Isaiah 6, verse 8, it says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" I'm actually kind of fascinated by these texts. I frequently contemplate the faithfulness it takes to reply with a simple, "Here I am," when God calls. I know from my own personal experience that I'm much more likely to be in the camp of most of the Old Testament prophets who argue with God, who try to hide from God, who try to talk God out of whatever it is that God's calling them to do. The ones who say, "Oh, no, God, I think you've got the wrong person. I think you really want to call someone else. They'd be so much better at this job than I would." That's more my speed. And so the ones who reply immediately with, "Here I am," are an inspiration and a bit of a fascination to me because they're just so ready and willing. Here we have God saying, "Here I am," and being ignored. The people are just too busy. The people don't care. The people have other concerns, and there is God, desperately trying to be in relationship with this stubborn people who refuse to acknowledge God. Which makes me ask myself, how often do I do this? How often does God say, "Here I am waiting for you, I want to be in relationship with you," and I'm like, "Yeah, great, cool, thanks, gotta go." I mean, it's one thing when God calls us to something specific, but this is simply God being there for us. God is saying, "I am here. I love you. I want to be in relationship with you." And God says that to us all the time. God is constantly reaching out for us, seeking to be in relationship with us, seeking to share that love with us. But do we always realize it? I don't know that we always do. I don't think I do. I think I can take it for granted. But I shouldn't. We shouldn't, because it's actually pretty amazing when you think about it that God is there for us no matter what. God wants to be in relationship with us. God, the creator of the universe, wants to be in relationship with me. God is waiting for me then to pick my head up from my own self-absorption and realize that that infinite love is there waiting for me. That's huge. And I'm actually I'm at a bit of a loss for words right now because of just how huge that actually is, to think about God wanting to be in relationship with me. So this first part, we have God reaching out to this stubborn people who keep ignoring God. And it leads into the second part of these verses. In verses 6 and 7, God gets fed up with being patient and moves into being angry. I'm not always comfortable with angry God. I don't always like to read those verses where God is angry or God is seeking to punish, but I can certainly understand why God is upset here. Not only are the people ignoring God's open arms and pleading to be in relationship, God is pleading to be in relationship, the people are actively inflicting harm on God, according to these verses. God says, "There is smoke in my nostrils all day long." And of course, these are metaphors, but the metaphors here indicate that the pain that God feels is acute and it's ongoing. The smoke and burning continue all day long. It's not just a temporary thing. It doesn't cease. So God moves to a different tack to get the people's attention. God moves from this patient, "Here I am, please be in relationship with me," to being angry, to being frustrated. God promises to repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, primarily for their breaking of the first commandment. And if you remember, the first commandment says, "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me." And one interpretation of this for other gods is anything that turns our focus away from God, whether that's work, anger, money, sex, chocolate, you name it, from the giant to the silly, from the serious to the less serious. If we put more importance on anything than we do on our relationship with God, that something becomes a small g God for us. So whenever we put something in our lives that's so important it takes our focus away from God, we are breaking that first commandment. We are having other gods before God. We are turning our focus away from God. Michael Chan, who is an assistant professor at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, writes, "To be sure, God's decision to judge emerges in response to a ruined relationship, but it is also a legal consequence of Israel's continued breaking of the covenant at Sinai." Notice how verse 6 begins, "See, it is written before me." But we have to ask, what exactly is God reading? What is written before God? This reference may refer to the ledger of the righteous and the wicked. If you look in Psalm 69, you'll see that. Again, in Daniel, you'll see a reference to that. But it seems more likely that it refers to a covenantal document that lays out the consequences for obedience and disobedience. God is referring to the covenants that have been made between God and the people. Covenants such as the Ten Commandments, where God lays out rules for living in relationship with both God and our neighbor. And now God is saying, "Look, you have the instructions right here and you can't even follow them. Not only that, but you don't even acknowledge me when I try to engage you in relationship, when I try to be in communication with you about the things that we promise to one another." God finds the people guilty of being unfaithful, and God makes the decision to judge. Which is kind of a cliffhanger because we have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll move into phase 3. God's moving from decision to mercy. From the decision to judge to the decision to act mercifully. We'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about Isaiah, these verses from Isaiah, and we had just moved into the phase of God deciding to judge the people. But from that phase, then God moves again to a different decision. It doesn't end in the judgment phase because we still have this third act of these verses to move into. God's decision to judge is tempered by those same promises that God is trying to remind the people about. God says, remember, we have these promises that we made to one another. You promised to live with them in them. I promised to live within them. God is in covenant with the people of Israel. And just because they're being unfaithful to that covenant does not mean that God will also be unfaithful to that covenant. Sin and unfaithfulness are very prevalent in these verses. You get these stubborn people who are ignoring God. But God's judgment is only a small part of the bigger picture of God's mercy. Toward the ends of these verses, they talk about the vine and the vines, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. And in this we see that God's judgment is not the final word. God's promises are the final word. And even though God is angry and God is frustrated, God still promises a blessing to the descendants of these same stubborn people. I think this text is amazing because it's made me think about God's presence. God saying, here I am, we are in relationship. Maybe you might want to pay attention. And I know for me, I'm not always good at this. But I'm grateful that there are texts like this one that draw my attention back to where it should be, that remind me that, you know, God is out there looking out for me. And I'm also grateful for God's persistent presence and God's promises. I completely understand in these verses why God is frustrated with the people, why God would be frustrated with me specifically. God should give me the mother of all timeouts for my actions. I wouldn't be surprised if God looks at me in total frustration about 90% of the time because I'm not perfect. I am far from perfect. I break covenant with God all of the time. I forget to be grateful for the gifts that God has given me in my life. I forget to acknowledge God's presence in my life. And yet God is there saying, hello, here I am. You remember that we have this relationship, right? God loves me. And God loves you. How amazing is that? Really, just take a moment to ponder that. How amazing is that, that God wants to be in relationship with us, even though we usually are terrible at being in relationship with God. We are the stubborn ones who ignore God. We are the forgetful ones who just get busy and forget God's presence. We do so many things that should make God frustrated, that should make God just say, you know what? I give up on you. I've tried, and you haven't done anything to be a part of this relationship. And yet God, even though God might get angry, even though God might get frustrated, God's frustration, God's judgment is still tempered by God's promises, by God being in relationship with us, having made promises to us, of God loving us and keeping those promises. And for me, this text from Isaiah is all about that. It reminds me that I need to pay more attention because God is there. God is just waiting for me with these incredible gifts. And that, at the end of the day, I think is pretty darn amazing. We're going to move on from Isaiah to the second Old Testament reading for this week. And that is Psalm 22, verses 19 through 28. And it reads, but you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. From the horns of the wild oxen you have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. So again, that's Psalm 22, verses 19 through 28. And actually, this feels like a bit of a brilliant choice to follow that text from Isaiah. And here's why I say that. Because now it's the psalmist who's trying to get God's attention. The psalmist is crying out to God, begging God to come to his aid, to deliver his soul from the sword. How apt is this? I mean, how often do we ignore God completely like those people in Isaiah? How often do we just ignore God when God says, "Here I am"? How often do we ignore God when things are going along perfectly fine in our lives, when we're content or when we're happy? But as soon as things go wrong, that's when we turn to God. That's when we get desperate and we start pleading for God's help. We say, "Here I am, God, please come to my aid. I really, really need you." Now, I'm not judging, because this is totally human nature. It's not really surprising that we ignore those things. We take for granted those things that are just there in our lives, but then we only pay attention to them when things go bad or when we need them. It's just, as I said, human nature. But I really like that these texts are in juxtaposition with one another this week. We start with verse 19 in this week's reading, but if we go back to the beginning of this psalm, we begin to get an idea of just how desperate the psalmist is. Because verse 1 of Psalm 22 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day and you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest." Now, you might recognize that first verse as being the same thing that Jesus cries out while on the cross. The psalmist is in trouble and is desperate and is pleading with God for help. And these verses give us a clear picture of someone who is besieged on all sides. If you read at the beginning of the verses for today, the psalmist writes of being besieged by the sword, by the dog, by the mouth of the lion, even by the horns of wild oxen. This guy is not having a good day or a good week or whatever. And so he calls out to God. But then notice how the tone shifts. The psalmist is still pleading, but the tone shifts from one of desperation to one of trust. And he starts listing all of the ways that God should be praised. And at first it might sound like a typical plea bargain. You know, when you're bargaining with God, "Oh God, if you fix this, if you get me out of this, I promise to do this." And the psalmist says, "I promise to tell my brothers and sisters all about you. I promise to praise your name in the congregation." But then the psalmist begins to list all of the reasons that God's name should be praised in the congregation. And there's also an interesting shift here in the use of the word fear. Originally, the psalmist is in fear for himself, in fear of everything that threatens him. But now he speaks of fearing the Lord. In this case, the word fear is more akin to the word awe. Fear of the Lord means standing in awe of the Lord. We stand in awe of the amazing God who rescues us and deserves to be praised. We have to take another quick break, but when we come back, we'll be discussing more about how this psalm connects with the reading from Isaiah, how the emotions that we see in this psalm connect with what we are talking about in Isaiah with our relationship to God. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about Psalm 22. We were talking about this shift from fear, meaning being afraid of the things that were attacking the psalmist, the things that were going wrong in his life, to fear in more in terms of standing in awe of God's wonder, of a God's amazing grace. And if you read through the Psalms as a whole, as a book, you will often see this kind of shift from lament to praise, from fear to praise. I love the Psalms because they cover pretty much every emotion we can have, from fear to desperation to hate. But they always shift to show how God is with us, how God helps us, rescues us, loves us, and seeks to be in relationship with us. The Psalms cover the range of human emotions, from despair to joy and everything in between. And from there, they often shift to praising God because of the things that God has done for us. You get from despair to joy to praise often, all in one psalm. And this doesn't mean that the darker emotions are going to go away. It doesn't mean that everything is just wiped out. We're still going to encounter situations that scare us, that anger us, or that make us feel anger or hatred towards someone else. But the psalm tells us that God is always there. God is always saying, "Here I am. Let me help you through this. Let me weep with you. Let me ease your anger. Let me love you." And that, for me, is the bottom line. God is with us no matter what. No matter what horrible thing we see on the news, and every week there's something new and horrible that we see, there's never enough good stories in the news that counteract those bad stories. But God is with us no matter what. Sometimes God is looking at those things and saying, "Here I am. Why won't you acknowledge me? Why do you ignore my laws and hurt your brothers and sisters? Why do you choose to live in sin instead of in relationship with me?" When we hurt our brothers and sisters, when we ignore God, when those terrible things happen, God, I think, is looking at us and saying, "Here I am. You just aren't turning towards me." God is there no matter what. If God is with us, God is mourning with us. So we see those things on the news. We see those things that make us so sad, so terrified for our brothers and sisters. And sometimes we want to blame God. We want to say, "Where is God in all of this?" But God is there. God is mourning with us. God is weeping for those brothers and sisters who have been hurt. God is weeping for the brothers and sisters who have turned away from God and who have done the hurtful things. God is there with us. God is mourning with us over the things that happen in this world that cause us pain. God is with us, which seems like a really excellent reminder for us. As you go about your week, through everything that happens, through the mundane things, you know, those things that you have to do every day, like loading the dishwasher or, you know, cleaning the house, to those things that are big and exciting, really fun news, to those things that are unexpected and sad, God is with us. We just have to remember that God is saying, "Here I am. I can join you in all of these emotions. I can be there for you when you are sad. I can be there for you when you are angry. I can be there for you when you are rejoicing." Include God in all of those emotions. Turn to God and remember that God is with you no matter what. God will be there no matter what, because we are beloved children of God, and God wants to be in relationship with us so much. And so I really appreciate these texts for this morning, the one from Isaiah and the one from the Psalm, because even though they contain hard things, even though they contain God's frustration or the fear of the psalmist, they also remind us that yes, God does want to be in relationship with us. God says, "Here I am. I am here in relationship with you, loving you, caring for you, protecting you." Which seems like a pretty good place to stop for this episode. So thank you for joining me as we discuss the readings from Isaiah and Psalm 22 that were assigned for the lectionary week of June 19th, 2016. Remember, you can find all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. We have a whole bunch of podcasts, so no matter what topic you're interested in, you'll probably find something that will interest you there. You can download the podcasts on iTunes, on Google Play, and on SoundCloud, and you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr. Thank you for joining me, and remember that you are a beloved child of God.